97.9 FM, WCHL, and chapelboro.com present The Art of Potential, an illuminating talk show dedicated to getting your community educated, hired, and inspired. The Art of Potential combines real-world knowledge and expertise aimed at helping our community reach their full potential. Now, The Art of Potential on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Hi, this is Kristen Heemstra. Welcome to The Art of Potential show. We have a very interesting show in store for you today. We have one of the most knowledgeable people about education, Miss Melanie Butler Williams. Welcome, Melanie.
Good morning. How are you?
Oh, I'm great. And I'm very happy that you are here. Very happy. Because Melanie is like the best insider there is to the education system. And what we're going to be talking about are the different types of education system, how to work with the education system for your child, and all kinds of great information on the show. So, Melanie, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and why I would say these things about you?
I don't know why you would say
because they're true.
But I am like a guru. Yes. You make it sound like I'm a guru.
You are a guru.
I don't know about all that. But I have been in education, since 95. So what's that, going on 17, 18 years?
Yeah. We don't need to get too far into that.
And I started in education, wow. As a school counselor, and now I'm a principal, and I have seen, and I'm also a parent, so right. I see education, the education system, on both sides of the fence.
Oh, all of them, yes.
Yes. So I find myself often talking to parents from both sides, and I'll say, okay, from my principal's perspective, this is what I have to say about it. Now, from a parent's perspective, this is what I can tell you.
I think parents appreciate that, too, knowing that you're taking the parent perspective in when you give a response to them.
I get a different reaction, especially if a parent is not too happy. I can give the principal, speech, and they're a little warm. And then I say, okay, well, let me get on your side
a little
here.
Warm.
Yeah, let me get on your side of the fence, and this is how I would feel, so I get how you feel. I find that the conversations go a lot more smoothly.
Mm-hmm. When you deliver both of
when
those.
I deliver both perspectives, yes, and they know I've got children too, especially when they find out I have a middle school kid and I'm going through the crazy years.
Right.
Yeah. We all feel each other at that point. We're feeling each other. Yes, they understand how I feel, and I understand how they feel. So.
And you, I'm not saying you have been on the other side though, as a parent with your own child, but when you do walk into the office and you're looking at the teacher or the principal, and you're the parent, and you have the education experience, you do kind of know what their perspective is as well. So you're able to flip hats pretty easily.
Right.
So you've been, what fascinates me about your career in particular and about your family situation is you have a taste of all the different types of education. So you have the public education perspective,
mm-hmm.
you have the charter school or the charter education perspective. Mm-hmm. And then you also have the private school perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me a little bit about those, how they differ, how they're alike. What are some of the nuances that you notice? Just educate me about those from your educated point of view.
Okay. I've spent 17 years in traditional public schools.
Yep.
My children have been educated in public schools except up until the high school year for my oldest child. And so he's been in a private school for 3 years. I just started with a charter school. And what I can say, the similarities, they all have people who work there who care about the students.
That's good to know.
And teachers work hard.
They do.
No matter what sector, public, private, charter, they work hard. They have the hardest job. And they're teaching people how to be the millionaires, and so we should be paid the big dollars, but another subject. I would have to say that that's the biggest similarity is they
caring
have the
teachers.
Caring teachers and the caring staff.
Yep.
When it comes to money, that's where they differ.
Okay.
Public and charter schools are publicly funded.
Yes, they are.
And private schools are you know, funded through your dollars out of your pocketbook. And sometimes I think that when parents are a little more invested
in their pocketbook,
when it hurts your pocketbook a little more, I think you're more, I don't want to say involved, I guess involved sometimes. And this is just from my perspective and, and you know, how I feel.
Do you feel like you have the right to demand more?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, because you know what you're paying.
Right.
You see what you're paying. It's different than, you know, you're paying your taxes and you don't really see that the percentage of pennies that are coming out, you know, per person for public schools. But I do tell parents and encourage parents to demand, you know, what they pay for, even in public schools and in charter schools. Your tax dollars are paying for this. Make demands, but there is a way to do that, public and private school. I mean, there's a way to make demands without turning people off.
So you shouldn't walk in and say, hey, I'm a taxpayer. You need to do this because I pay for your salary.
That wouldn't get you positive results.
It wouldn't. But I will tell you it does happen.
It does happen. I just don't think it gets positive results right away.
Diplomatic.
I really want parents to advocate for their children.
Yeah.
To be the best advocates, but also understand that everybody is a human being in this, and everybody has feelings, and there's a way to get what you want without, you know, being
without
nasty.
Coming in like you've got a cross to bear or as a, you know, like a force of nature or, you know, to your point when you're hot and you're mad because something. So let's talk about that for a minute. Mm-hmm. What would your advice be to a parent who is upset about something that's happened? Where would they start? What take me through the process. So an example, Johnny comes home and he says somebody bullied him on the playground. Nobody did anything about it. And then he has all F's.
All right. So I'm going to tell you from the parent perspective.
Fair enough.
I would contact the teacher.
Okay.
And
so direct line of contact right to the teacher.
Right to the teacher. Can you tell me what happened? This is what he's saying.
Would your mind be open?
I would try. But, you know, as a parent, your child comes home, they're hurt, you know, they're upset, somebody said something, or even somebody physically hurt them. And so you become Mother Bear.
Yeah.
And it's easy to do that when it's your child. And it's easy to go in and not listen to another side.
Right.
But I think sometimes if we can step back, relax, and say, all right, this event that has happened is from a child's perspective. Let me remember that and let me figure out what part in this did my child play.
So there's some accountability for your own child.
Some accountability, you know, what was going on. If there was, you know, a skirmish or argument back and forth, what part did you play? Because I also like to make my children responsible and think about, you know, if I hadn't said this or if I hadn't done this, maybe this event would not have happened. Or what, you know, again, what's my part in this? So after speaking to the teacher, if, you know, we can sit down and get it resolved. Also, if I know the parent, then maybe possibly calling the parent, depending on how big of a situation it is, calling the parent, if I know the parent, and saying, hey, can we sit down and talk about what's happened between our children? Because they do have to go to school together.
Okay, and so parent-to-parent contact.
That, yes. But also, if we could sit down, parent, teacher, and the other parent, and the students, because I think the students need to be in there as well, because stories change. Not saying anybody is telling fibs. I'm just saying stories change and perspectives.
Where other details
other
emerge.
Details come out, exactly. So it would be nice to sit down and resolve it that way. I do also believe that if things don't get resolved, then the next level would be to come to the principal.
fascinating stuff here. We are going to take a break. You are listening to The Art of Potential Show with Kristen Hiemstra.
You're listening to The Art of Potential on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Welcome back. This is Kristen Hiemstra with The Art of Potential Show, and I am talking with Melanie Butler-Williams. Melanie, tell me about the school that you're the principal of.
I'm principal of Preeminent Charter School in Raleigh, North Carolina. It is a K-8 school, and it is one of 74 schools right now. Our company is expanding with National Heritage Academies, and we have 74 schools nationwide. There are seven, I believe, in North Carolina.
Oh, terrific.
One in Raleigh, one in Durham, one in Greensboro, about to be two in Greensboro. Winston-Salem has one, and Charlotte has one, and they're about to open up another one in Charlotte.
That makes sense. I mean, Charlotte's got so many folks down there. Does the school have a particular theme? Does the company have a particular theme?
Our school is focused on college-bound.
Mm-hmm. College-bound students.
College-bound students. And we have a K-8 school of, again, 600 students. And, you know, our goal is to enroll your child as a kindergartner and keep them to the eighth grade the whole time. We have research to show that we make significant gains with students as long as we can hold on to them. A lot of times we'll get students who come in who are behind. And it's sometimes a struggle to bring those students up to grade level.
Makes sense.
Yeah. I enjoy being at the school. This is my seventh month there. And I'm having a wonderful time. Great group of people to work with. Great company to work for. And this is our first year. It's been a busy year. Next year will be probably even busier.
Are you seeing more students coming in next year?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, we are. We started with 608 students.
You started your school with 608. Wow. Is it a competitive application process?
No, it's not competitive. We just seek to fill seats in every grade level.
Yeah.
And once those seats are filled, we do, have a wait list.
Yeah.
And, you know, just through natural attrition.
Yeah.
You know, people moving, people, you know, leaving because they want something different. We'll have spots open. But normally our kindergarten is what's booked right now. You know, everybody's on that quest for the great kindergarten school. So our kindergarten, is booked right now, or at least people are saying they're coming. We'll see. You know, everything is kind of settled in about September with that 20th day.
Yeah. That's the same for public schools.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Your 20th day is that's what you report to the state.
Exactly.
What your enrollment numbers are.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So let's just, I want to talk about that and then kind of some of the different roles in a school. But if you are a parent and you're seeking, let's say you have a child who is behind, what is the best way to help them? Because to your point, when you have a child who's behind, catching them up is so difficult.
It is. I would think, first of all, as a parent, it is hard to hear that your child is behind.
Yes.
And
does it make you want to blame the school?
Yes.
Okay.
It does. You know, I've had a personal thing to happen. And so I know as a parent, it's hard to hear something's going on with your child.
Mm-hmm.
And you tend to not want to believe. You tend to want to say, well, y'all don't know what you're doing. But I think if, you know, you can have that moment and then get past it and then say, okay, what are your suggestions? What can we do? And you get started early.
Intervene early.
Yeah. Because, you know, if you have to do other extreme interventions like getting an IEP, that is a long process.
It
so
is
if
a
you
long,
can get
yes.
it started early, I think that that's helpful for your child. And nobody really wants to have their child labeled. I get that. But at the same time, you want to get your child some help. And you don't always have to have a label to get your child help. And so starting early, being your child's best advocate. And that's not only supporting your child, that's also supporting the teacher. And you know, 9 times out of 10, when the teachers see something, you've seen it too.
Right. You just don't want to admit it to yourself.
Exactly. You've seen. You know,
your child's disorganized. Really?
Right. Or, you know, the teacher says he's not reading at grade level. You've seen it. And it's just hard to hear and hard to accept. You know, our society makes it so hard for us to accept different.
Yeah.
You know, and everybody's got to fit into the square.
And they do, and it's horrible.
It is.
And it's heartbreaking, and it will break your heart. It will break your child's heart. It's spirit-breaking because they don't recognize their own talents because they're forced down to this, you know, square.
Exactly. All the circles have to fit in the square, or all the squares have to fit into the circle. Right. And it's sad because not everybody's gift is academics.
Right.
And I think, you know, we need to get to that place that our...
In our society.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That not everybody has the gift of books. And
that's okay.
It is okay. It is okay. So just being your child's best advocate by, you know, standing up for your child, but also listening to what people have to say who do see, who do understand, who are with your child every day, reading and writing and doing mathematics and can give you data. And so when you have the data, and I would say go in and ask for data. Don't just take, you know, somebody's word
for it.
Ask for data. There's nothing wrong with, you know, so what have you seen? Can you show me? And the papers that you get back from school, that's data. Mm-hmm. That is data right there. And be willing to listen to what people have to say. And if that means going, if you don't believe and you need to go outside, do that.
Mm-hmm.
I've told parents, you know, you feel like you need to get a different opinion, second opinion, go get a second opinion.
Absolutely.
You know, do what you have to do for your child.
And I would also say, to piggyback on that, education happens in the school, but there are many students, including some of the most high-performing students, that bring in outside help to help them get to the level of performance that they're seeking. So I notice in the school that I work at, East Chapel Hill High School, we see kids, our highest flyers, have tutors, they have enrichment things going on, they're constantly getting the material reinforced. They may be doing Kumin, they may be doing all these other things.
Right.
And so that's another way to add into the educational process.
It is. And you know, even if people are listening and think, well, you got to have money to do that, you know, you can find tutors who don't require, you know, money. Also, at my school, we have a tutoring a program. Every semester, we have a tutoring program. And, you know, people are allowed to participate. There are teachers who are willing to stay after school and work with your children. So it doesn't always take money.
It may just
take having a conversation and saying, how can we help my child? Are you willing? What can I do for you? You know,
That's such a very good point. And we have that, too, in the Chapel Hill, Carrboro City Schools. I know we have a lot of tutors from the colleges.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Sometimes, too, peer tutors at some of the different levels are very helpful, particularly when kids get older. I don't know how that would work in a younger setting. But peers can speak the same language sometimes.
They can, and better than we can sometimes, and teach concepts. Scary, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. We do have peer mentoring at our school, and it is very successful. And I have to give kudos to my social worker, Ms. Ewan, for starting the peer mentoring program. And so my middle school students mentor my elementary students, read to them, you know, work with them. So yes, I mean, there's a way to get help for your children. Again, it's having the conversation. It's seeking out different resources, going to the colleges, looking for college students who need credit for something, service learning. High school students need service learning hours. They can tutor and get service learning hours.
Yep.
It's just a matter of taking the time.
Yes. To do it.
And finding somebody who can help you if you don't have the time. Just, you know, figuring out what your resources are.
Very true. All right, this is the Art of Potential Show. And when we come back, we're going to talk about different roles in the school.
You're listening to the Art of Potential on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Welcome back. This is the Art of Potential Show with Kristen Heemstra. I am talking with the wonderful Melanie Butler-Williams about education. So, Melanie, we just talked about how, if your child is behind or if they're having issues, kind of how to move in as a parent and get them the support they need. One question I have for you, can you tell me about the different roles of the people in the school, the counselor, the social worker, and how to utilize those people the best way you possibly can?
Sure. So I think our most important role would be the teacher.
Yes, absolutely.
And the teachers nowadays wear many different hats.
Oh, my gosh.
Many different hats.
You can't even imagine the amount of hats they have to wear.
Yes. So, you know, every day I'm bowing down to the teachers. They don't see me bowing down. But in my office, I'm bowing down thinking, thank you for them. Because they wear so many hats nowadays. I mean, they have to be the social workers. They have to be the counselors. Yes. You know, they have to be moms. They have to be dads. And then on top of that, teach.
And teach at all different levels.
At all different levels, exactly.
Because your classroom never has all the kids at the same level.
At the same level, exactly. And so making a strong connection with the teacher will help you.
Strong positive connection.
There you go. Strong positive connection with the teacher will help you navigate the school and be able to get in contact with the counselor, the social worker, the principal, the assistant principals or deans or whatever, you know, you may, the title might be. We have a social worker at my school, and social workers in schools, I think sometimes people are, the word social worker.
It concerns them.
Concerns them when you have a social worker involved in your family. I think they have a wealth of knowledge about the resources that are available in our community, and I use our social worker to help families all the time. And yes, I know sometimes families are embarrassed. I think the word social worker has a stigma to it.
Which it
doesn't need to have, because my social worker, Miss Ewan, is wonderful. She's wonderful.
It makes all the difference.
It does. It does. It does. When I can say, you know what, Miss Ewan is going to handle this, and she'll find you all kinds of, you know,
resources
to tap into. The counselors in the school are... I can't even speak enough.
That's right. You can't speak enough good things about counselors. That's what I'm talking about.
I don't have one. I would love to have one.
So you don't have a counselor at the school, but you do have a social worker.
Right. And I do kind
That's
of use her.
I should, yeah, absolutely.
In both
you would
ways.
Have to.
And if I had a counselor, I would use the counselor in a social worker way as well. But both of them provide, I think, immediate counseling services for students who need that. And nowadays, I think kids have a lot more to deal with than when you and I were in school.
Mm-hmm. It's complicated.
It is complicated.
Social media has changed the fabric of childhood substantially.
Definitely. And, I think maybe we did have things to deal with, but not have been as open and as out there. And, you know, it seems like all the kids are having to deal with things that may or may not be in their household, but they're having to deal with it because they see it.
Yes. They can't get away from it. No.
And things can't be hidden. Things can't be whispered about anymore. You know, like when we were kids, you know, certain things you didn't talk about, your parents didn't talk about to you, so you really didn't have to deal with it.
Right.
They got to deal with it. It's all over the place. And the bullying. Can we talk about the bullying issue? Whoa.
And it happens on all different levels. That's the hardest part.
Yes. It's... And you know, what part of that is just kids being kids, mean kids? Yes. And what part of that is the true bullying. But anyway, you were talking about roles, so I don't want to get off on a tangent.
No, but it does. It brings all those roles back to, I mean, now you're dealing with a problem that every single level has to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
So you have, say, a bullying instance takes place. The question is, let's say it takes place on Twitter.
Yes, the cyberbullying. Yes.
So you have cyberbullying.
Oh, yeah. We do have, you know, cases of that. And I don't know. For me, bullying I have a different definition. And as a parent, when you see someone making fun of your child on, you know, Twitter, Facebook, or whatever, again, the mother bear instinct comes out and you want to protect. And, you know, is this a one-time event? I don't see a one-time event as being bullying. Bullying tends to be, you know, when you get consistent activity at your child by the same people.
Right. And it's not intervened with.
And it's not, dealt with. You know, I've had a situation we've had to deal with. And so it's when you talk about the roles in the school, the teacher has had to be involved, the social worker, myself. In my school, we don't have assistant principals. We have deans. Okay. The dean, same role, just different title. The deans have been involved. And so as long as all parties have, you know, stepped in and said, this is what we're going to do about this, we have a zero tolerance for bullying at my school. And most schools have zero tolerance.
Yes, they do. Chapel Hill schools do as well.
Right.
We do have to know about it. That would be the one thing that I would say.
That's we do have to know. And the thing is, if you don't know, it's hard to do anything.
It is.
And, you know, students nowadays have this don't snitch mentality.
They do.
But parents want you to do something and come in upset. You know, my child was bullied, Well, I'm sorry, I didn't even know.
Right. How did you not know? Well, they don't run
they
up
don't
and tell us.
They don't tell you. Right. This isn't grade school where they do like to do a lot of tattling. You know, they tattle about every little thing.
He hit me.
Right. I mean, K through about third grade.
Yep.
And then after that, it's a, you know, it's don't old. Snitch. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I usually have to pull kids to the side. And I have moles in every grade level that I can
true
go to.
True confessions of a
I have moles
principal.
Say, hey, got lunch. What do you know? I got some lunch for you. What can you tell me
so
about
do you
this
bribe thing? Them with food? Is that what we're hearing?
Food. You know, hey, get your free homework pass. What can you tell me about this? I mean, you got to because they don't want to say. They
right,
don't want to
snitch.
And I get that. But at the same time, I would love to build a community where the students correct each other and say, you know, that's not right.
Oh, wow.
That's
that just made my heart sing. Wow, that is so hard to do because it requires the courage to stand
up to
one of your peers.
It requires the courage to stand up to your peers.
Yes.
It does. And who wants to take that chance?
Oh,
you have a 50-50 chance. You're either going to be joined in by others or you're going to be
flying
out there.
Solo there and ostracized and you're going to go to the water cooler and everyone's going to run the other way.
Exactly. And
wearing a scarlet letter.
Right. Now, as adults, we don't even want to do that, you know? And so we want kids to do that? That's super hard, and it takes a really brave person.
It does.
You know, I don't know what the answer to that is, but you know, those are the roles in the school.
They are. So let's talk about the counselor just for a second.
Okay.
So a counselor comes. They're a conduit in other schools. I understand you don't have one, but sometimes the kids will use a counselor. One of the many hats a counselor does wear is a conduit for that kind of information.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody coming in and saying, hey, this isn't right, or because I'm dealing with high school level, the bullying does tend to be, we're seeing more of it on the cyber piece, name calling, starting a website using, you know, referring to students by inappropriate names and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's slightly more sophisticated now with the same intent. It's just a mean intent. That's what it is. So that would be one role. But now let's change to a different. Actually, we're going to take a break. You are listening to the Art of Potential show with Kristen Heemstra.
Need your local culture fix? The lifestyle section of chapelboro.com is the only place to go for food and dining, restaurant views, health tips, fashion, and local culture commentary. Want to know what the best shows and venues to attend? Lifestyle has show listings for Deepak, Cat's Cradle, and the Art Center, and many more. And be sure to check back after the show for reviews and commentary. There's even information on local neighborhoods and schools. Keep yourself in style with Chapelboro's Lifestyle.
You're listening to The Art of Potential on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Welcome back. This is The Art of Potential show with Kristen Heemstra. We are talking with the wonderful Melanie Butler-Williams. Melanie, okay, questions I have for you. You have been a counselor. You are now grooming young people to go on to college. So let's talk a little bit about that. You're also a parent who has a college-bound young man. Kind of crazy to think about.
A tears rolling down my cheeks. You know, while I want to get him out of the house, I still kind of want to baby him. You know? So, yeah.
So how do you use the school? You've had all these different hats. You're seeing your son go through the process. How do you use the school?
Well, you know, I like the fact that my school and my company focuses on college-bound students. We want students who are college-bound. And that doesn't mean just, you know, I'm working with the eighth graders. That means we start that conversation in kindergarten.
Yes, you have and to. So it's the expectation.
Exactly. So
it's
the expectation. And that's what I started with my children when they were young. So, you know, now it's not, am I going to college? It's, what college am I going to?
Mm-hmm. It's a whole different framework.
Exactly. It's a whole different conversation. It's not about, you know, you don't get the option to not go.
Right.
You're going. Accepted. Decide which place you're going to go. I mean, even if that means a community college for a couple years, save me some bucks. I mean,
that's
a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
You know, there's a stigma with community colleges, and I don't know why. But
I don't either. They're fantastic.
Oh, they are fantastic, especially
and they have people who love to teach.
Yes. Yes. And small classes.
Yeah.
You get to know your professors. So it's starting the conversations early,
mm-hmm.
and which is what I'm pushing with my parents. Let's start these conversations now.
Do you have to change your parents' frame of mind?
Yes.
Okay.
I do.
So you're doing that as well.
Trying to do that as well. You know, I have had a college night, and thank you for being there and speaking with parents to kind of not only a college night, but also a high school night so that my parents can talk about the things they need to do for their kids in high school to get them to the next level.
Yes.
I think sometimes parents, we just kind of float through high school and then
hope it's
we,
being taken care of.
Hope that it's being taken care of. I personally know of some cases where, you know, parents just kind of set back for 4 years, and then in the fourth year they were ready to get, you know, graduation invitation sent out to grandma and granddad, and it didn't happen because somebody wasn't graduating.
Oh, I know that. I've seen that.
Yes, I've seen that numerous times. And so I put that on us because we can't, as parents, we can't sit back. Sometimes I think the high school years are the most important, where we need to be most involved sometimes with them, because I think we think that they have their own mind. Yes, they have their own mindset. Yes, they are wacko jackos. but they don't know everything, and they think they do.
They think they do.
and they give us the false sense that they're okay and they know enough, but they don't.
they don't.
That's
so well said.
So,
you listen to them, you're like, wow, you are on it.
Right.
And why are you failing all your classes?
Why are we not sending out invitations? And it's the fourth year of high school.
Right.
Yeah, and it's sad that you get to that point and your child is not graduating. And we as parents have to become more educated about the high schools and about what does it mean to graduate my child in 4 years. And sometimes it takes a little bit longer, and that's okay as long as we're graduating our children.
As long as you're moving on.
So my son is a junior in high school. And it is a process of how much do I hold on and how much do I step back?
Oh, that's a tough, I feel your pain.
And it's a balance.
Yes.
We did some college visits this weekend, Friday to Sunday. We went to University of Virginia and
you're alma mater. You walk around the grounds.
Oh, yeah. And we went to George Washington University.
Oh, wow. So you were in D.C.?
Mm-hmm. And when we were at UVA, the admissions person was speaking to the students and she said, I'm not going to speak to you. I'm not going to speak to your parents because it should be you doing this.
Nice.
And, you know, she said, I don't want to hear from your mommy.
Ouch.
Right.
Ouch.
She kept it real. And it was kind of tough to hear as a mommy.
Yes.
You know, I've been on that side of the table trying to talk to high school students and say, you need to get this done.
Yes.
But to hear her say it and me be the parent.
Yes.
Oh, she cut me.
She cut you deep.
Yeah, it was hard to hear. But it's true. Trying to get us as parents to separate. And then I thought, well, how do I help my parents understand?
Yeah.
And figure out what part do I do and what part don't I do?
Yes. And giving them, one thing I see is the desire to keep children close or keep them safe.
Right.
And sometimes the last thing you want to do is stifle your child's potential. And unfortunately, sometimes those things do run counter to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Getting them out of town, getting them away, getting them to a new environment can often facilitate amazing growth that you can't have if you're right there.
And letting them make mistakes.
Yeah. Oh.
Letting them make mistakes.
Yes.
And
Without commenting on them.
Well, now I don't know that. I don't know if I'm going to be quiet, but letting them make mistakes and trying to figure out how to take care of it. And there are some things that we as parents need to take care of, but there are other things that, you know, I think we need to let them fall sometimes so that they can recognize that they can get up and succeed.
Mm-hmm. It builds confidence.
It builds confidence.
Real confidence.
Exactly.
Not the fake kind of, oh, you're so wonderful.
Right. Oh, you can do that.
Yeah.
And you've only, you know, walked a block.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I've had people say, you're hard on your sons. Yes, I'm hard on my sons. Yeah. And I allow them to fall. I allow them to make mistakes. And then I look at them and say, get up.
Mm-hmm.
Get up. And what are you going to do next? You know, I think they're going to be better individuals. They may shed a few tears now. I wipe them away and say, no, go on, stop it.
I'm done with you crying. Move on.
Stop it. I've got to figure out how I'm going to help my parents change the mindset.
Mm-hmm. That's a tough one.
Especially at kindergarten, because you're not thinking about
college.
You're thinking about, I can't let my baby go for 7 hours a day.
No, but I will tell you, I did a talk at SAS Corporation, and it was on getting your child college bound. And I had pregnant women there.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Wow, we haven't even birthed the child yet, and we're thinking about college.
Well, the baby can hear it.
Right. I'm sure it made a lot of sense.
That's awesome, though. Yeah. You know, and that's what I want. The mindset that we need to start now. We need to start having the conversations. And even if you have not been to college, you can have the conversations with your child.
Mm-hmm. And it's okay for them to go to college, too.
Right, right. Exactly.
All right. So we have a few minutes left. I want to know what your favorite part of being a principal is.
My favorite part are my students.
Mm-hmm.
And I walk down the hallway, and the little ones love to hug on you. I love that because my sons don't hug anymore.
Right.
You know, they don't want me to touch them. The only time I can get a hug and a kiss in is when they're asleep.
Right.
And you know, I take risks doing that because when I kiss them and I scare them, I can get slapped.
Right.
You know, but that's the only time I get a hug and a kiss from them. So I love that part. My least favorite would be the paperwork, the red tape.
Oh, totally.
You know, of just trying to educate the kids and be there for the kids.
Mm-hmm.
That is my least favorite part.
Mm-hmm. I can see that.
It has to be done, you know.
It is part of the process, and there do need to be some type of standardization and checks and balances and accountable data and all that kind of thing. I think everybody gets that.
Yeah.
Well, you have been an absolute joy to interview. Thank you so much for coming to the Art of Potential show.
Thank you for having me. I've had a good time today.
You have just listened to the Art of Potential show with Kristen Heemstra. Please take a moment and follow us on Twitter @Art of Potential and on Facebook.